I want to talk, I'm in the series, we're studying Colossians. And Pastor has asked all of us who step in to stay with that series so the teachings will be consistent. So we're looking at Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And I want to read those verses to you. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for many who have not seen my face, but their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love and attaining to all riches and the full assurance of understanding to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He's piling up some words here, like mystery and fullness and understanding and riches, and those kind of things. And then he says of Jesus, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I'm absent in the flesh, I'm still with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy, empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles. That's one word in Greek. I'm going to surprise you with that one in just a minute. Basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now that's amazing, isn't it? In the human body of Jesus, the entire Godhead dwelled. And if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, guess who dwells in you? It's an astounding thing. But here's our theme for tonight, and we'll build the entire message around this verse. Something, if you believed, would have transformed your life. Listen to this. And you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. Most people I talk to feel like there's something missing in their life. They're ever learning and never able to come to knowledge of the truth. Or they feel incomplete. Even if you do something, it's not good enough. Beethoven left an unfinished symphony. Sure did. A philosopher, Bertrand Russell, wrote, "Tomorrow I shall," and he dropped dead. How do we make sure things are complete? Well, that word complete, along with five other words in this section that are all translated different, come from the same word. The Greek word pleroma, P-L-E-R-O-M-A, if you want an English transliteration. It is the word for fullness. When it says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit, it's pleroma. And there are several words in here that talk about being full, being filled, being abounding. It's the same word. It's just, they just pile up in here. And he says to us, as he said to the people at Colossae and at Laodicea, this was a circular letter. We know here from this verse 1 of chapter 2 that this letter went to both towns. He says to them, you don't need a thing. Everything you have has been provided. And that's what he says, that's how he ends this section. You are complete in him. Maybe we're not spending enough time with him. Because he will talk to you. He's left us a book. That's a living book. The Word of God is sharper and live and sharper than any two-edged sword, even dividing asunder soul and spirit. Soul is your personality. Spirit's that part of you that's been born again. People say, if I know my heart, you don't know your heart. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Don't be a moron. You have no idea what you're capable of doing, bad or good. I'll never forget the guy sitting in my office about 8 years ago with his girlfriend, and he was married. I just don't love my wife anymore. And we've just prayed, this girl and I, we just pray together. He said, what do you think about that? I said, you think I'm stupid? I said, you fell in love with this woman, it pushed the love out that you had for your wife. I think you're an adulterer. That's what I think. That ended the counseling session. Because, see, your soul and your people think it's spiritual, but it's soulish. The truth will divide your feelings from reality. The word will divide your feelings from reality. Whenever your feelings conflict with the Word of God, it's not spiritual. It's soulish. It's nostalgic. And I didn't mean to get on that, but y'all probably needed it. So we're going to look at three things here. First, the complete life. In it you have a complete encouragement. He says in verse 2, he talks about this conflict that he's having. It's a spiritual conflict, and I'll say more about it in a moment, because we're having the same conflict today, and I'll show you that in just a moment. But right now, you have a complete encouragement. Now, verses 1 through 5 give us that. Look at verse 2. That their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And then verse 5, for though I am absent in flesh, yet I am with you in the Spirit, rejoicing to see your good order. So, what is it that encourages us? One, you have the Holy Spirit. Look at this word, encouragement, here in the New King James. I don't know what it is in your version, but this word encouragement here, it's an interesting word. It's the Greek word parakaleo, which means to be called alongside. The interesting thing in John 14, 15, and 16, Jesus said, when I go away, I'm going to send you another comforter. How many of you remember that? New King James translates it helper. Who is this comforter? Holy Spirit. I told you this fullness thing's all the way through this. And so the thing that you have to know is that when Jesus went away, he didn't leave us orphans. That's what he said to John, I'm going to send you a comforter. Para means alongside. We get our word parallel from that. Alongside. Kaleo means one called alongside. When you're walking the walk of life, the Holy Spirit comes alongside. And it is the Greek word, if you over there and you have a cheering section, it is the word for cheerleader. There is an inner voice that speaks to us out of the Word of God that says, press on. That's right. Don't give up. Keep praying. Keep moving. Don't quit. This was a word used in the Olympics. When they would run the race or be in the wrestling match. To continue. And so, I'm full. I have a complete life. Because no matter what happens in my life, no matter what negative thing somebody may say to me, there's somebody saying, you've got this. Amen. With me. Second, this is second point under point one, if you're an outline keeper. Not only do we have a comforter, we have a congregation. He says, you are knit together. You see these words? Being knit together in love, verse 2. All these are plural. And then he says, we're all walking in good order. That's tachin in Greek. That's soldiers marching together. We're all moving toward the same goal. But he makes it very clear in this passage that one thing that encourages me is you. How many of you are encouraged by other people in the church? That's why you need to be in a life group. You know, it's hard to sit with 1,500 people and have somebody encourage you, even though listening encourages. And the word knit together, it's a word for bones, broken bones being knitted. Today I went to see my shoulder doctor. It was really the last visit. I have to go back and see him in 6 months, and then after that every year. But I had a total shoulder replacement. And every time I go in, they x-ray it. And I love it. I get to look at it. I mean, they got a real fine x-ray device over there, too. I mean, it's clear. And I love to see those x-rays. But I learned something I didn't know about a replaced shoulder today. 50 centimeters, or however that long, is down into my arm, is this new socket. It goes down in my arm. And today he said, I want to show you something, Dr. Smalley. I said, okay. He said, now your God does this. I put this in here, but watch, look at here. And all along that little, you can see the bright white metal of that ball joint going down in my arm. That bone was knitting to that metal. So this arm, when I had surgery, I could barely move it, but now with the new, somebody said, well, isn't that interesting? All these joints you get. I think it's just a foreshadowing of the resurrection body one day where we won't have any pain. But that's what it means to be knit together. And I wonder why God chose that word here. But it's because he knew we would come together broken. But we when we're knit together, we kind of fix each other. And so my life's complete with a complete encouragement. I have the Holy Spirit coming alongside, and then I've got people in the congregation, and together we're walking in good order. He said, I'm glad y'all are in good order. And that's the word for military rank, because the third thing I'm going to say under point one is that we are able to be encouraged in spite of conflict. St. Paul said, you don't know the great conflict I've had to endure for you. What's going on? And if I read the text accurately, he was not only speaking of himself, he was saying, you have no idea what you're battling. You have no idea the evil that you're battling. But I'm encouraged because no matter who I'm battling, I'm complete in him. And I can say, have you met my big brother named Jesus? He is. The Bible calls him our elder brother. I think that image is so we'll understand we got a big brother. That's point one, okay? Point two, this isn't going to be long because I didn't have much notice. 12 hours, and I wanted to give y'all something fresh. Second, we have a complete experience. Now look, if you would, at verse 6, Colossians 2. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. As you have received Christ Jesus. Not Jesus Christ, but Christ Jesus. Why? Because Christ is anointing. As you have received the anointed one, Yeshua. See, everything in this verse about the Holy Spirit. I know some of you hear Holy Spirit and run like a crazy person as far as you can. You're afraid something might happen to you. You need something to happen to you. Listen, if we're just here talking about the past, I'd rather watch TV, play golf or something. But if God's alive and I can experience him now through the Holy Spirit, why wouldn't I want to be here? And be, hallelujah. See, I can feel his presence now. And I didn't have to have a drink either to feel something. Some of y'all need to go to Joel's place and get a drink. You don't know the Bible well enough to know what I'm talking about. Joel chapter 2, in the last day saith God, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. You have a complete experience. You didn't accept Christ, you received him. In the ancient Greek, that's an aorist tense, which means it happened once for all. You can't dump him. He's there. He's with you. And that experience guides you. As you have received him, walk in him. He's with you. So in that experience of salvation, you get a guide, somebody that's with you. We've already talked about parakaleo. Here it is again. Walk in him. This experience not only guides you, but it grounds you against the vicissitudes and storms of life. Look at verse 7. As you therefore have received Jesus Christ, verse 6, walk in him, rooted, built up in him, established in the faith. Those are strong words, aren't they? As you have been taught, abounding in it. That's the word fullness again. With thanksgiving. Wow. Rooted. Built up. Established. See, this experience not only guides you, it grows you. And we're called a vine. Years ago, Paulette and I were in Germany. We got to visit, one of our time off, we got to visit the Riesling wine vineyards. And I don't know enough about wine, but they say that's a kind of wine called Riesling. And so we got to visit the vineyards. And they looked dead. And they had this drip irrigation, little old hoses down there. You could hardly, it looked like they were dead. They'd been cut back. And I asked the guy, I said, don't these things need to be watered? He said, oh, no. He said, they're not growing up now, they're growing down. And I said, well, why'd you cut them? He said, because grapes only grow where it's been cut. Only on new growth. I learned something. We may not look like much sometimes, the fruit, but the fruit we're growing, we may be growing down sometimes. I got zoysia grass. It's the grass that turns white in the winter. You can't pull it up, though, because when you think it's dead in the winter, it's growing down. So don't look at me sometimes and say, well, you don't look like much. You can't see where I may be growing. Well, you don't look happy. Well, sometimes the Lord's working me over. You know, happiness isn't a gift, but joy is. And joy is on the inside, not on the outside. Hallelujah. I'm feeling like a shout coming on here. Point two, you have a complete experience. Point one, you have a complete encouragement. How about last, you have a complete equipping? I'm fixing to get to the warfare. Now he steps in to deal with these Colossians. And let me tell you why. I'm sure the pastor may have said something about this in introducing the book. The Colossian Christians and in Laodicea and that part of the world, they battled a thing called Gnosticism. that comes from the Greek word gnosis, which is, we get our word knowledge from it. But the Gnostics claimed to be believers, but they were people who were cultic. And Paul used the word mystery. In fact, he uses it through all of his letters to the Roman Empire. But if you were a Gnostic and you read what Paul said about mystery, you knew he took it like a bone sideways and rammed it down your throat. Because he was always revealing mysteries. The Gnostics were always keeping secrets. Anything that's a secret society will soon be of the devil. And I don't have time to go there about our own government. But we got them in America. Paul was battling the Gnostics. And that's why he first talks about philosophy, intellectualism. We know more than you do. You just need to be quiet and let us run everything. Because we have the secret. And unless you're initiated into our cult or one of us, you can't know it. Paul said, yeah, we got some mysteries. We're going to tell you about them. We've got the mystery of Christ. And what is that? That God became flesh, the incarnation. We're going to tell you the secret. And we're going to tell you the mystery about you, the fullness of the Holy Spirit. You know. And all the way through the Bible, the last book in the Bible is Revelation. The Bible's not I got a secret. It's God revealing his mysteries and unfolding them. And one of those mysteries is Christ in you, the hope of glory, right in this same book of Colossians. So he's battling. And here's the sad thing about it. In the early church, these people became, the Gnostics tied in with the atheistic philosophers to run the government. I mean, if you think we've got nutty government now, think about Caligula, the emperor of Rome, made his horse the vice emperor. So all I can do to say, I ain't going to say that. I'm going to let that go. Because the boss might not let me preach again for a while if I say that, so I'm not going to say that. Well, I will say this. The ex-vice president called somebody a pony, a horse or something, didn't he? I'm not going to be ugly, though. Philosophy. And young people, as you tread into the universities, don't be enamored by philosophy. I made 1450 on the graduate record exam, 29 on the ACT. I earned my doctorate degree. I was around all of that. And I had some smart people, and I had some smart alecks. But the problem is they bend their knee at the altar of human knowledge. And that looks big when you're a lowly student under a professor. But when you think about the planet Earth being one planet of nine in one solar system, a small part of one galaxy, among billions of galaxies, human knowledge and wisdom doesn't seem like a whole lot, does it? But in him are hidden. You'll know something? All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In him. And in him dwells all the good fullness of God. And you can have him in your life. So don't be carried away by philosophy. And then he talks about deceit. Charlatans. Whether they're religious, political, phonies. Don't be led away. The big problem in the world today is deception. Because you come to the conclusion these people can't be that stupid. They're deceived. I saw a cartoon depicting socialism today. There's this board going out over a cliff about to go down, and this socialist is standing on the board, and the capitalist is on the other end of the board, but he's on the rock, and the socialist is about to shoot him, not realizing when he does, he's going straight down. Hello. Charlatans. If you believe the Antichrist is going to have any trouble, just look at America. Let's look at America. And then he says, traditionalists. These are people that worship how they like things done more than the Word of God. We've had church at 10:30 and 11, not because that may be the best time to have it, but because we used to milk cows. People had to do the chores before they could come to church. But you thought when you change, when we moved from 11 to 10:30 here, we nearly had the Battle of Armageddon back in 1982. Tradition is good. Traditionalism is an idol. I could make y'all mad, but I'm not going to. I wanted to get to this word because I want to spend some time here before we close, because none of the translations really bring this out as it should be brought out. The tradition, then he says, according to the basic principles. I think the King James says rudiments or something, and other people say world standards, but that's, let me tell you what this is, stoiche in Greek. It is the word used for reading the stars, among other things. It is the word the ancients used to describe the invisible demonic world. Who do you think's running things in the world? Who's pulling all the strings? The New Testament, that's the word they use for that. It's also found at the end of the book of Romans, 8th chapter of Romans, where he says principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. The astral deities, they call them, the demonic forces out there. And so he looks at us, wrapping this thing up. Here's how you can endure. You're complete in him who is above all principality and power. Take it down to 9 and 10. Go to 10. There we are. You are complete in him who is the head. Look at this. Principality and power are the leadership ranks of the demonic, invisible demonic forces that come in and out of the three dimensions we live in. Paul said, we wrestle not, Ephesians 6, against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities, powers. And in the other verse, where they're called basic elements or rudimentary forces, stoicheo, they're related. These are forces that relate to this planet and have since it was created. They are the dark forces that oversee the lesser demonic forces that operate every day. So here we are with enemies, and governments are controlled. These things operate in the realms of government. Principalities and powers, they operate in they operate in ranks. The Bible talks about the devil having schemata. That's the word for an architectural plan. He has a plan. The church ought to have a strategy, too, to take him on. We do in a prayer room over there when we worship. But here's the good news. If I'm in him and he's above all this, I'm above all of it. I can't lose. The victory's already won. You, in this book of Colossians, I don't know if it was in the last chapter, or I think it's the last chapter, where it says he spoiled principalities and powers. The Greek word, he disarmed principalities and powers and made a public show of them at the cross. They have already been humiliated. The only reason they're still around, along with demonic forces, is so that you can be trained to reign in the next world and give them a whipping every time they come around. But what if they kill me? Well, I can't do that without God's permission. But for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Isn't that great? This is the full life, isn't it? I was listening to Benny Hinn this afternoon, just accidentally, really. I came in from, well, providentially. I don't know, he's undergone some kind of transformation that's just unbelievable. It started, you know, when he returned to his wife, Suzanne. And a lot of, but there's something going on. And he's in his 60s now, and he said that his big regret is not spending more time with Jesus. And he was speaking about 150 millennials. And I want you to understand something. He wants to spend time with you. He will hear your prayers. He will answer your prayers. He will speak to you. He loves you. You got to talk to him. He's got you a love letter here. He wrote you 66 books. Just start off with John and start over. You know, people said, I think I'm going to start with Revelation. There are 440 allusions to the Old Testament in the book of Revelation. That is not the place to start. Somebody asked me, do you miss being lead pastor of the church? I love you, but no. Because so much of what you do in a larger church has nothing to do with people, or it's the business end of it. You want to set your church free, tell everybody around you to pay tithe so that they don't have to struggle to pay the bills and do that. That's the biggest thing in every church I go to, every pastor I'm mentoring. If every member of this church paid tithe, we would never have to mention it. That's a fact. And it would be more than enough to get the job done. And I know that you wouldn't be on a Wednesday night if you weren't faithful, so I'm preaching to the choir here. But people ask me, what did you miss? What do you miss? The discipline that was mine. I mean, I was pastor 38 years, and I wrote all the time, so we ended up with 38 books. I wrote 3 messages every week. Not one. And you don't know, I spend 12, 15 hours a week with my disciples, that's young pastors all over the country, helping them get one together. That's what I do now. I go preach for younger pastors mostly, and we spend all Monday, you can ask Paulette, I spend most Monday and a lot all day Tuesday helping these guys get their stuff together. And I love it. One of these guys runs 2,200. So I may speak to 12 guys and end up preaching to 3,000 or 4,000. That's what I do, and I love it. But I love getting down there in that basement study, and I had to. I didn't have an option because I had to bring the goods Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday. And that's what I miss, that demand. When Ronnie called me yesterday, He sent me my sermon that I preached years ago on Colossians 2, all typed out. Because before I had copies, guess who had copies of everything I've done? He did. Because they know about the internet. They had all that stuff that had been typed. They got it all. So he sent me my own message. But you think the Holy Ghost would let me do that? So here's what you got. The minute he sent me that assignment, I was thrilled. Because I had that chance to open that book. And I said, I'm not doing this old message. Even though it was wonderful, I'm not doing it. Let me find something to talk about. And that's storkeo, because people are fighting such battles now. And I want you to know, when you look at these politicians, Democrat or Republican, they're fighting these beasts every day. Somebody asked me, he said, well, what Democrat are you praying for? All of them. But I really had a burden for this Klobuchar woman. I like her for some reason. There's something in her. She's wrong. But from the very beginning, you can ask Paulette, when she announced, I said, now she's spouting all that stuff, but she don't believe that. And I started praying for her. Well, last night, Paulette said, well, your girlfriend there. See, with women, if you mention another woman, it has to be something weird about it. You know? I said, now, if that was Jennifer Aniston, you might have a worry. That's one good-looking 51-year-old girl, I'm going to tell you that. But the Lord's really convicted me that we need some transformation on that other side. We don't have to agree, but we need to start praying that the same Holy Spirit that knocked St. Paul off that horse on his way to Damascus and turned him completely around will hit somebody and bring them out. Now, I'm praying for this Kanye West. I mean, think about that. You need to know that I have relatives who are not right with God that have called me about that. God's touched him. Pray the Spirit around him. Now, Kobe Bryant, we all miss him, but he was tied up in the Mamba cult, unfortunately. I hope he got right. But there's so much deception out there. And this stoicae, the rudimentary elements of the creation. In other words, these things that existed before we did. We who live in the three-dimensional universe. Boy, that time went by fast, didn't it? The three-dimensional universe, there's worlds beyond us. And our world is impacted. But we have the difference-making. And one of the thing that's disrupting Washington, people say, well, President Trump's the big disruptor. The thing that's disrupting Washington is, number one, his wife gotten a fresh experience with Jesus. She comes from a Catholic background and been baptized in the Holy Ghost. And they have prayer meetings going on. I believe Trump's saved. I don't believe he's sanctified. You know, he hadn't read this. He needs to read my new book on the Sermon on the Mount. I told Paulette that. She said, well, you need to read it first. Look at your mouth. I said, that's what I've lived with. I thought I was marrying my mother-in-law, and I got my father-in-law. She looked like my mother-in-law, but she's my father-in-law in temperament. By the way, she would have been here tonight, but we had a repairman that couldn't get through, still at the house when I left her there tonight. Probably a good thing she didn't. This isn't online either, is it? So that's probably good. Let's stand together, would you? Everybody say this. I am complete in Him who is above all principalities and powers. The victory is mine. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You for this opportunity to open the Word, for how we've been fed tonight, and Lord, the encouragement I've received from the congregation. Lord, may we love each other. May we be knit together in our brokenness. May we find healing and health and be knit together in love. And may we serve our community without regard to who they may be. And Father, we do pray tonight for the divisions in our country. We pray for these candidates, Lord, that are out there. Lord Jesus, we pray You would manifest Yourself to them, to their families. We pray, Lord, that Your hand might be mighty in the midst of our country. We pray against war. We ask for, Lord, for You to bind the forces of this disease in China. We pray, Lord, that it wouldn't be a worldwide plague, that You would stop it right where it is. We pray for those people stuck on that Prince's ship over in Okinawa, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that You'd bring grace to that situation. We believe in Your healing power and mercy. Lord, we pray for the early voting that's begun here today. Lord, the people would take their freedom to vote seriously. Go vote. Begin to vote. And vote their heart and vote their conscience. We thank You that we still have this freedom in this country. We ask Your blessing on our pastor while he's away, and Seth, that he'd be healed. And Lord, that You'd prepare us for a great time this coming Sunday. Lord, we pray for Mark Williams that's coming here. Lord, we know the strong stand he's taken, and especially for the young people there in Cleveland, Tennessee. Lord, I pray as Mark comes here, Lord, that he would challenge our hearts in those two services on the first, Lord. We pray, Lord, for what You're up to in this house, for the comings and goings, Lord. We know that it's in Your hand and in the heart of Your will. Lord, we thank You for the thousands that are moving to Hickson. We pray that our witness, Lord, will be strong. We pray, Lord, that the anointing of this atmosphere, even the parking lots and the roads, would be strong, that people would turn in and find their way to Jesus. Thank You for the young people that are here tonight. Let them pray for Seth, for his healing. And Lord, we love You tonight, and we give You praise. Thank You for what's coming. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. See y'all Sunday.